You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like that dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Friday Eve, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Friday Eve? It's Thursday, isn't it?
That's Friday Eve.
Friday Eve. Oh, my goodness. I'm all over the place. Yo, I'm like, come, thought you said it was Friday.
Come back to us, Boomer. Come. Hello.
I'm here, and I'm doing good.
You still don't drink coffee, and that bothers me. You got to start drinking coffee.
I need some more sweet tea. That's my drink of choice.
Well, I brought some Right Side rations in, Ooh. So there's some chocolate over here to help boost you back up. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show for you. 4 o'clock today, Congressman Mo Brooks will be calling in, which is perfect timing because we just had some breaking news that I'm sure he'll want to comment on. We're going to get his commentary on both the spending-orama going on right now in Congress as well as the January 6th hearings and the referrals to the Department of Justice. So, yeah, Congressman Mo Brooks at 4 o'clock, you're not going to want to miss that. And then there's that triple dipper, man, and it is full, let me tell you. Hit it, bud.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, Ukraine explained. All right, so President Zelensky came last night, the first time he's left his country since the war began, and spoke to Congress. And there were parts of it that I liked, parts that I didn't, most of which I just couldn't stand watching Nancy Pelosi blow him kisses. That drove me crazy. But that being said, we're going to talk through what's happening in the war in Ukraine, and I've got plenty of commentary on that. So Ukraine explained, number one. Number two, Spendorama, part two. And by the way, breaking news, literally moments ago, I'm looking at a story right now that has been posted for an entire, it just went up. The Senate has just passed the $1.7 trillion spending bill with the help from a dozen Republicans. And you can figure who they are. You know exactly who they are. The nothing burgers, the people who literally just go out there all the time and say, well, I'm a Republican, but then they act like Democrats. So, yep, we're going to watch that. The Senate passed it. Breaking news, we'll talk about the Spendorama Part 2. And then number three on the Triple Dipper, so the January 6th nothing burger. I used the term a moment ago, but this is the real one. The January 6th nothing burger, that's what I'm calling it. So January 6th Commission has done their thing. They spent millions of U.S. tax dollars. They had scores of staff working for them. They issued subpoenas. They took testimony. No cross-examination allowed. They have now made referrals to the Department of Justice, and we're hearing that the Democrats in the Senate really just don't want to deal with this. Because why? Because it's a nothing burger. That's why. And they know that every time they do something, it just makes Republicans stronger. So, yep, number three on the Triple Dipper, the January 6th nothing burger. But I tell you what, though, let me jump over to my comments. You know, with regards to Ukraine, I'm going to spend some time on that this afternoon as we start the show. And I got to tell you, if you look back, let's face it, past experiences can color our perceptions every single day, right? I mean, it's reasonable to assume that someone's life experiences can have an impact on their future perceptions. You often hear of like a depression mentality. It's a term used to describe somebody who grew up during the depression era in the United States and that the experience of having done without made them far more frugal in their later years. Well, people carry perceptions forward, some good, some bad. You can imagine that the victim of a violent crime is more apt to be wary of their surroundings, or a wartime veteran may have a deeper appreciation for being home. I could go on and on, but I think you get it. Where you've been, what you've done, how much you've heard, what you've seen, those can all have a reasonably expected impact on the way you view life and circumstances. Well, me personally, I'm a product of the Cold War era. Like a lot of you in this audience, I remember the bulk of my formative years hearing about the specter of communism, how the Soviet Union was behind the Iron Curtain and intent on spying and espionage and proxy wars against the United States and our allies. When I was young, the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Bay of Pigs were still fresh. My father and my grandfather, they served in Vietnam, a war that was originally intended to thwart the unfettered march of communism across the Far East. I remember the days of the Cuban boat refugees as scores of Cubans packed tiny boats to make their way to U.S. waters and try to escape communist Cuba. When I was 13, I had a chance to go to what was still known then as West Berlin. My dad made sure we made it to the infamous Checkpoint Charlie. It was the gate from West Berlin to East Berlin. I will never forget standing there at the free side of the Berlin Wall, the barrier of concrete and wire and minefields that the communist East German and Soviet governments had put up to keep citizens from escaping to freedom. On the west side of the wall where I was, at Checkpoint Charlie, there was actually a viewing stand, and I climbed up the steps to look across the wall at East Berlin. And I can still see it in my mind's eye as I looked over the communist side of Berlin, and it literally looked like a black and white movie, all drab, nondescript. And then I could turn around and I saw life and color and the vibrancy of West Berlin. It was like the first part of the movie, The Wizard of Oz, when it switched from black and white to Technicolor. Well, then I entered the service myself. In 1987, I was at Fort Benning, Georgia as a young infantry officer for my basic officer course. The same week I entered that course, President Ronald Reagan stood up in front of the Brandenburg Gate in West Berlin, and he emphatically said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." But the Cold War didn't end right then, so during my course, my infantry officer basic course, I learned such nuclear-era things as how to count the flash-to-bang time of a nuclear blast, or what biological and chemical agents the Soviets were most prone to use, how to drop down to the ground, place my helmet towards a nuclear blast, and just hope for the best. And then came the day when they locked the doors and told us that it was time for us to learn how to calculate nuclear fallout and exposure ratings. Yeah. If the nuke goes off, how long do you have to wait before risking open exposure, and where on the map can you move your troops? Well, somewhere in that very bleak lesson on how to survive in a Soviet-spawned nuclear hell, we were taught to use the whiz wheel. Now, it sounds fancy, but it's really not. The whiz wheel, it was a series of plastic wheels of varying diameters that were superimposed over each other. Each one had digits and readouts, and by knowing such things as wind direction and flash-to-bang time and the width of the nuclear cloud and geographic locations and more, you could dial the wheels in various directions and the numbers would line up and calculate the nuclear yield. All of that with a simple little M28 radiac and nuclear yield calculator known by its name as the whiz wheel. What a heck of a thing. I mean, between that lesson on the whiz wheel and the slide presentation of what happens to a person who's exposed to various nuclear, biological, and chemical agents, well, let's just say it was a very sobering, and it colored my perceptions going forward, perceptions that even today caused me to see the war in Ukraine through a bit of a Cold War lens, if you know what I mean. So here's the deal. I'm hearing more and more that conservatives have a beef with supporting Ukraine in its fight against the Russians. A fight, by the way, that Ukraine did not ask for. A fight that is on their own soil against an aggressive neighboring Russia. A fight that many believe was just the first of a series of fights that were planned out, but that Ukraine has been able to help stymie by their uncanny ability to kill Russian soldiers. So let me start by asking you all a not-so-rhetorical question. You ready? Here's the question. Do you want Russia to win? Do you? If you want Russia to win, the conversation just stops there. But if your answer is no, that you do not want Russia to destroy and take over Ukraine, then I have to ask you the next question. What are you willing to do about it? Now, let me go on the record again and say that I've been saying for some time now, I am personally very concerned with the amount of money we're dumping into Ukraine, and I want to know what measures of accountability we're employing to make sure it stays on the up and up. I mean, let's face it, Ukraine is not known for having a corruption-free government, and I'm very aware of that. But Russia is far worse, and Russia is currently led by hardliners who used to be a part of the Soviet apparatchik. Old Soviets turned modern Russians who long for the glory days of being the scariest opponent to the NATO alliance. So if you're concerned about the money, then yes, so am I. But I still don't want Russia to win. If you're concerned because Biden is the one in charge, then yes, I share that sentiment. And more than once, I've thought that this was his way to try and distract from Afghanistan and wag the dog, if you will. Many of us believe that Putin would not have even dared to invade if Trump were still president. But what if he had? Would you be as concerned about supplying the Ukrainians with arms and funding if Trump was the one doing it? But Biden is the president. But I still don't want Russia to win. If you're irked that liberals seem intent on using the war in Ukraine to constantly virtue signal and pretend that they're the ones who are strong on national defense when we know they're not, or that our own border is more important than the Donbass region, or that energy prices are going up and up, or that we can't spend and spend and spend, well, I share all those concerns. But I still don't want Russia to win. I firmly believe that if Russia wins in its war against Ukraine, that Moldova and the Baltic states are next, that Georgia will never be free, that an emboldened Russia with its old-style Soviet tactics would destroy Eastern Europe a second time and suck NATO and the U.S. into a ground war. So ask yourself, do I want Russia to win? If the answer is no, then you got to ask yourself, what am I willing to do about it? Yeah, so put that in your whiz wheel and calculate it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, President Zelensky came last night, made his speech to Congress, which was significant. It was significant. I'll talk about that here in a minute. And the bottom line is this. I don't blame him. If I were him, I'd be doing the exact same thing. Who can help me? Will you help me? I will come and speak to you. You know what? He did the right thing by coming and speaking because we can't keep sending money and not seeing the face of the person to whom we're sending it. Nonetheless, all of this has got a lot of concerns wrapped up in it, and I don't like the fact that this administration is the one handling it, but at the same time, I don't want Russia to win. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, there's several pieces of breaking news, you know, none of which are great. I'm looking right now. CNN is breathless. They're breathless because the January 6th committee is going to release their full report on the Capitol attack. Yeah, whatever. That's just like, I got a whole section. The whole third part of the Triple Dipper today is the January 6th nothing burger. I mean, you talk about a waste of time and effort and energy and tax dollars. But then again, wasting tax dollars is nothing new in D.C. as I look over at the screen and see that Senate passed the $1.7 trillion spending bill with help from Republicans. And I need to find the list of what Republicans voted for it. As soon as I can find it, I will read that out to you. It's some of the ones you can imagine. They're always the same ones. If I sound a bit jaded, there you have it. We got to do something. Probably by the end of this day, you know, we're going to talk about the war in Ukraine, the spendorama up in D.C., the January 6th commission. Going to be talking to Congressman Brooks about some of the above. We're probably going to do something lighthearted towards the end of the show, Boomer.
That's a good idea.
Just to pull me out of it.
Just like, to pull you out of it.
Before I go to the house. Yeah.
just to end on a good note for the day.
Charlene will probably call and say, don't you bring that frumpy attitude home.
She probably will.
I'm sorry, honey. Anyway, I'm going to find the names of the Republicans. I said it right the first time, the Democrats. The Republicans who voted for the Democrats' spending bill. Yep, there you go. So that's all breaking. Hey, by the way, tons of stuff to tell you is on our website, all right? So listen, if you want to go check out our website, www.rightsideradio.org, you'll find a ton of stuff on there, not the least of which is our podcast. So the podcast is just kicking. I see you just pulled it up, Boomer.
I cannot talk today.
Where are you today?
I do not know. Almost 103,000.
Be careful what buttons you push over there today.
I know.
Almost 103,000.
Almost 103.
Sweet. I feel like we just did push-ups the other day trying to reach 100,000.
We did.
Okay, cool.
Sweet.
All right. So anyway, yeah, you can go to our website, www.rightsideradio.org, and you'll find access to all of our... We're live streaming the show right now. You can see the Christmas tree here in the studio. You can see Boomer and I sitting here opining about things. You can see all the buttons that... I don't know what they do, but Boomer does. But you can also just watch the show live. We also stream it, by the way, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and I'm forgetting something else.
Website.
Thank you. That's the one I was talking about.
That's the one.
Okay, thanks. Now I'm the one that can't find words. All right, but then... we also have the podcast piece, which I told you about. You can find the podcast on the website, or you can go to your favorite sourcing like Apple or Podbean or whatever and just Google Right Side Radio within those podcast apps, and bam, there you are. I will point out, there's some other stuff on this website. It's just getting – it's such a robust site. You can always find the number to call in. So right now, the call and text lines are open. Thank you very much. 833-687-4448. My gosh, the text line's already blown up.
Yeah.
So the text lines are going. But yeah, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT is the number. If you want to call or text, the same number for both. Make healthy use of those. And we're going to want to hear from you today. As we get closer to Christmas, I want your thoughts before we hit the Christmas weekend on several things. Here's my question to you. As we go into the next break, I'm going to come back on number one of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine Explained. I want to spend some time unpacking where we are in the conflict right now, what we've been supplying, what we're going to supply, and what Zelensky had to say and why he had to say it last night. Because you heard my comments a moment ago. There are a number of different facets to this conflict. If you don't like the fact that we're spending money, I get it. But everything has to start first with the philosophical question, do you want Russia to win? It's really not that philosophical. Do you want Russia to win? And you go, oh, Phil, it's a European conflict. Is it? Is it really? Is it? Because we're part of NATO. I'm not looking for, by the way, I am not looking for U.S. troops to be over there. Not at all. At all. But I want to hear what your thoughts are. 833-687-4448. Are you supportive of the effort to keep Ukraine funded and supplied with weapons and ammunition? Do you think we ought to back off altogether? Do you want to moderate what we're doing? Do you want to find a different way to do what we're doing? I'm curious what your thoughts are. I got a bunch of vets out there I know in the audience who have that firsthand perspective of having been on the ground somewhere. But tell me what you think. 833-687-4448. Call or text. What do you think about the war in Ukraine? And I guess start with this. Do you want Russia to win? I want to know that. If there's anybody out there that wants Russia to win, I'd like to know. If you don't want to name your name, okay. But if you want Russia to win, or if you just don't care, tell me. We can lay that as the foundation for the conversation. All right, that's going to be number one of the Triple Dipper, Ukraine Explained. I've also got some stuff from General Jack Keane's Institute for the Study of War that gives you the latest intel on what's happening in the conflict. And then what weapon systems are we about to send over? Well, some major ones, let me tell you. Some major weapon systems are en route to the conflict. And how is Russia responding to the fact that Zelensky came and spoke to a session of Congress? Well, you can imagine. Russia don't like it. Russia don't like it much at all. Do I really care? No. Truth be told, that was probably the right thing for Zelensky to do. With as much money and as much treasure as we're sending over there, the very idea that he would not do it would be a problem. All right, folks, we got plenty more. This is going to be a full-packed show, but your input is just as valuable as what I've got. So call it in, text it in, 833-687-4448. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so listen, a couple of things here. The text line is open, and the text line is going boom right now. I'm trying to find a way to work my way through the thread. Multiple responses on the issue of both spending and on the question of supporting Ukraine. And John from Pike Road just asked something, and there's a Twitter a tweet that I got tagged into on my Twitter feed. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, if you're on Twitter at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N Phil Williams, at Sen Phil Williams. Anyway, and it's got like 86 people that all are talking about how Tommy Tuberville has betrayed the people by voting for the spending bill. Well, the list I just saw says he is not one of the ones who voted for the spending bill. He was not listed among the Republicans, unless I missed it. I am looking right now for independent confirmation. Paul from Athens sent me the list. So, Paul, if you've got an article or where you got the sourcing for that, if you could send it to me, that'd be huge. But, of course, the Alabama senator who did vote for it, Richard Shelby, we all knew that was going to happen. I mean, that's how he's going to get another building with his name on it somewhere, because he's made sure that he got all these support projects built in. Frank from Madison texted in and talks about he's got I guess from what I understand, he said here he's got a Russia, a Patriot background. He's also talking about the fact that he thinks that the Patriot missile, which we're talking about sending over there, would require U.S. troops to operate. Maybe. I don't know that for a fact. I do know that it would require U.S. troops to train Ukrainians to operate it, so I don't know how that's going to work. But we're apparently sending over Patriot missiles, and we're also being told U.S. troops will not be in harm's way, so we'll see. Paul from Athens just sent me the article. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you. Yeah, 18 Senate Republicans who voted to pass the $1.8 trillion McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill storyline off of Daily Signal. That's a good source. Just came out. And, yep, there it is. Okay. All right. So, folks, those of y'all that are blaming Tommy Tuberville, now, I will say this. I saw unofficial, I haven't seen the official listing, but I don't doubt it, per se, that Tuberville may have voted to allow it procedurally. And a procedural vote is not a vote for the bill. It's a vote to allow the bill to advance. But I don't believe doing that is wise either, because you're allowing the bill to advance. Nonetheless, his vote was not the deciding vote, but what we're looking at right now is 18 Senate Republicans did join in with the Democrats. We'll break all that down in number two of the Triple Dipper here in a little bit, Spend-O-Rama. Paul from Athens, thank you again for your sourcing. Appreciate it. John from Huntsville says, Zelensky's not even a Republican. He's a socialist. That's how he won so many votes, because Ukraine is mostly a socialist country. I get it, John. I do. I get that. Ukraine is not an innocent bystander in terms of everything in the world. They're not a perfect country. But do you like them better than you like Russia, or vice versa? Because if you think for a second that Russia is the good guy in this fight, you're just wrong. Daniel from Tullahoma wants me to believe there's a conspiracy theory out there that what's really happened is Russia's gone in and seized all the bio labs and the other intel, and they're helping us. No, they're not. Daniel, I don't believe that for a second, man. I appreciate you've got a position on that, but I don't agree with it. Where else we got? Rita from Scottsboro says, I don't want Russia to win, but I don't want to be bankrupt either. I can't afford a slice of bread. I totally agree with that. That's why I'm a firm believer that we have to see some serious accountability. I don't mean telling us there's accountability. Show us the accountability. Show us what you're going to do. So there's that. We got somebody getting off topic on me, bud. I can go ahead and do it. Why not? I've been talking about it too, so let's just go ahead and do it. Line one, Alan from Hartsel. Hey, Alan, how you doing? Is he there? Alan, you there?
Oh yeah. How about me? Can you hear it now?
I got you now. Yes, sir. What you got?
Okay. Now, this Tuesday afternoon, this omnibus bill is put out to the senators and congressmen. 2 days later, you're expected to vote on it.
Right.
Now, who in their right mind can honestly believe that they can read 4,000 pages and understand it in 2 days?
Yeah, to be honest, it was 4,155, and they got it at 1:30 in the morning. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. Who in their, there's no way that you can do that.
No.
And then people, the Democrats are just like the Obamacare. We're going to pass it, and then we're going to read it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's absolutely the wrong way to run a country. And we didn't used to do this until about 20, 25 years ago when they figured out that the best way to get all the pork they wanted was to hold the bill to the very end when everybody wanted to go home for Christmas. And now we got a snowstorm scaring everybody. And so they literally held it to the last second so they would feel rushed to have to do it. There's no way anybody could read it. And now I'll tell you what else, too, Alan. They passed the Senate today. Nancy Pelosi says she's going to try and bring it up for a vote tonight in the House. How about that? Same day.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, there's no way that they can do that. I mean, they should be able to do that. But that's what they do.
No, it's irresponsible.
And the general public, well, I guess they know what's right. They know what's best for us.
No.
Well, no, don't work that way. I mean, don't to me anyway. But I guess I read too much and try to figure out what's going on. But have a great day and great Christmas.
All right, you too, Alan. Merry Christmas to you, man. What else we got there? Missy from Falkville. She says, doesn't the troops have to go with the Patriot missiles? Yeah, I mentioned that a minute ago, Missy, and so I don't know the answer to that. Do I believe we're going to have to send trainers over with Patriots? Yeah, absolutely. I believe they're going to have to train them, though, in the probably in Poland or Germany. And then let them go forward. So I assume that we're giving them the systems, providing training off-site, and then sending them forward. I am told that we're not going to wind up having U.S. troops in harm's way. Grain of salt. We'll see where it goes. Jay from Harvest says, Eastern Ukraine will be a settlement. 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers, 40,000 civilians are dead already. Well, we'll see. They may sure enough settle. They may come to a point where they say, you know what, the Donbass region and the land bridge over to the Crimean Peninsula, that Russia may settle for it. I don't know. But I don't think so. Right now, Zelensky is saying that Ukraine will settle for nothing except having them leave. More to come on that one. All right, and we got some new texters coming in. I see at least two right now that have jumped in there. Give us your name and where you're from. By the way, if you're texting for the very first time, that's a point. 833-687-4448. I'm told that I read that too fast sometimes. It's 833-687-4448. But
why do you have to have the accent every time you go slower?
I don't know.
I just thought that was funny. Every time.
It makes me talk different when I go.
It's like you have some molasses in your mouth.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, the number is 833-687-4448. Text it on in. If you text for the very first time when you text in, tell us your name and where you're from. And start off by just texting the word right side. You'll get an automatic message back that says, hey, welcome to the system, you right side ruffian, or something like that, and tell us where you're from. First name and location. All right, listen, lots of stuff on the tap here. So let me just jump on to the fact that Volodymyr Zelensky, President Zelensky, left the war front for the first time that we know of and came to the United States yesterday. Showed up wearing fatigue pants and a sweatshirt. Went to the White House, met with the president wearing a fatigue pant and a sweatshirt. And spoke to Congress wearing fatigue pants and a sweatshirt. What kills me is the dude's over here in a time of war asking for assistance and, by the way, saying lots of thank yous. Don't think for a second he was up there telling us what to do. I'm even disagreeing with Tucker Carlson on this. He did not get up there and tell us what you must do. You will do what I say. No, he wouldn't. He brought over, you know, honorary gifts and tons of thank yous. All right, so are we sending him a lot of money? Yeah, we are, and it concerns me. But stop misrepresenting the guy who showed up to give a speech and say lots of thank yous and give us an update face-to-face on what's been going on. And he even made the point, this is not charity. It's an investment in security. All right, so that being said, let me go back to the sweatshirt thing. Get over it. If you were offended by the fact that he wore a sweatshirt, I recognize that decorum in the Senate would not normally allow for anyone, no member of the body could wear a sweatshirt. But if that's your biggest concern, then you're just looking for something right now. So shake it off. By the way, it was a good-looking sweatshirt. Just saying. Story on Fox News. Ukrainian president, this is dated last night. Zelensky makes a direct appeal to his GOP critics, arguing that no country is safe if Ukraine falters. My point, too, is that Zelensky said when he spoke to Congress last night, the struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren live. This battle cannot be frozen or postponed. It cannot be ignored, hoping that an ocean or something else will provide protection. And what he's saying by that is, don't think for a second, that this is just going to go away. It's happening. It's not like we're saying, well, you know, they might not invade. They've invaded. We're close to a year in right now. And you know, scores, thousands, hundreds of thousands perhaps have died. You know, much of Ukraine is on again, off again power. They're in the middle of a Ukrainian winter, friggin' cold. People are, you know, dying. And some of them are dying just from exposure, malnutrition, and just from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is an indiscriminate war, too, in many ways, because Putin is not content to just attack force on force. It's not just tank on tank. It's not just troop on troop. He's intent upon demoralizing and dehumanizing the entire population of Ukraine. That's why he's bombing infrastructure. That's why he's sending missiles indiscriminately into schools and other buildings. That's why they're bombing theaters, because he wants the people to be demoralized. Well, so far it hadn't worked. All he's done is tick them off. But that being said, Zelensky did the right thing by coming to speak yesterday. By the way, don't mistake my support for Ukraine as some means of just like, I'm not fawning. I'm not, by the way, one of the things that irritated me last night was Nancy Pelosi blowing kisses to President Zelensky. It was embarrassing. Like, ladies, stop that. What are you doing? Show some, it's like, He's too young for you, by the way. You can't date the man. But she even at one point leaned down and pulled him in to kiss him on the cheek. It was ridiculous. All that to say, I'm not fawning over Zelensky. I don't know if he's a perfect person or not. I know he's not, because the Bible tells us none of us are perfect. But I do know this. Between the two nations, he's the one leading the country that I'm more in favor of. He went on to say in his speech, your money is not charity. It's an investment in the global security and democracy that we handle in the most responsible way. All right, his words. I want to know what that means. Zelensky said that U.S. support is crucial not only for Ukraine's victory, but also to show Russia and China that no one can succeed in breaking national borders or committing atrocities. And he did go ahead and make a direct appeal for more U.S. military aid. He made the point, he said, Ukraine has never asked that American soldiers fight on our land instead of us. I assure you that Ukrainian soldiers can perfectly operate American tanks and planes themselves. By saying it that way, what he was saying was, we'd like some of your tanks and planes. Okay, that's coming. I don't know what we're going to send them. I do know we're sending Patriot missiles. And we'll talk about that more in a minute when we get back. Boomer, let's go ahead and take a break, man. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, and I do want your opinions. 833-687-4448. And Dustin from Hazel Green says Pelosi is a cougar. Okay. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. All right, we got some lively textures going on. So, number one, don't forget, if you send in for the first time and we don't have you in the system, you got to tell us where you're from and what your first name is, and we can get you in there. So Jacob from Chattanooga has got an issue with supporting Ukraine, vociferously an issue. His first text says, Ukraine, I'm sorry, it just jumped around. Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It's completely aggravating to me that America is sending so much money and weapons. It's ridiculous. We need to stay out of it, period. Okay, obviously you and I differ, Jacob. What's your plan? So when they come into Ukraine and they take over Ukraine, which, by the way, happens to be the breadbasket of Europe, it's one of the largest agricultural countries feeding most of Europe. It's also one of the largest energy producers with the largest nuclear reactors. So when Russia takes that, and they also block that all off from the Black Sea, and then they decide to step over into one of the NATO countries next door because we didn't say boo about it, what's your plan, Jacob? I mean, do you sit there and just watch it? So you can have your opinion, but recognize that your opinion has ramifications. And just being a complete isolationist is not always going to wind up working out. You can go ahead and look at Neville Chamberlain in World War II, who said that he decided to go ahead and stay away from confronting Nazi Germany. I'm not trying to say this is exactly that, but what I am saying is a mere isolationist. And by the way, Jacob goes on to say, also choosing Ukraine and supporting America, sending them everything because you just like them more if you had to choose is just ignorant. Be honest with yourself. And then he says, but I'm not saying that in an argumentative voice. I don't know what that. Anyway, Jacob, you're welcome to your opinion, man. But yeah, it does come down to a choice. You do something, you don't do something. And if you do something, which side do you support? That's where it is. And if you want it to just go ahead and, you know, and just pretend that if we did nothing at all, that Putin would say, all I really want is a little bit of land and I'll stop right there. We're talking about the guy who used to be a Soviet spy. All right. He was in the GRU, the KGB's follow-up, and then he was also in the KGB before that. So I really don't believe, Jacob, that we could just sit still. Now, where I am concerned is the amount of money. And I'm also concerned, by the way, with the fact that we have nobody showing us the means by which we are holding them accountable. Tommy Tuberville, 1819 News. Story came out yesterday. He says that he wanted his constituents to know that he is of the belief that we are indeed holding them accountable, and taxpayers, in his words, says taxpayers need to know Ukraine funding is being accounted for. That's the story that came out yesterday from 1819 with Tuberville during an interview he did. I got a caller on the line. Before I run out of time, I better grab it. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, Phil and Boomer. Merry Christmas. I'm actually pretty angry and disgusted. The accountability up to this point with billions or millions going to Ukraine has been non-existent. I think it's been demonstrated clearly that a whole lot of money that was quote-unquote sent to Ukraine went through these Bitcoin crooks and right back into Democrat campaigns. I think that's firmly established. This omnibus spending bill has got me so angry I can hardly see straight.
Yeah.
Any of the Republicans who voted for border security in several Middle Eastern countries and zero for our country, but money to fund streamlining processing of future permanent Democrat voters at the southern border. I'm ill. I'm absolutely ill, Phil. And if the Republicans in the House don't vote unanimously to oppose this thing, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I can't write enough angry letters to these criminals in Washington to make any difference. But you know, you feel like you got to do something. They're not listening to us. Taxation without representation. Remember, that was what started a revolution quite a few years ago as well.
I totally agree with that. And so the Bitcoin argument you just made a moment ago, I am not tracking that as well. If you got an article on that, Sparky, I'd love for you to send it to me. But the reality is,
I will.
Yeah, thanks. Because you have never come at me half cocked with anything, so I definitely want to see it. But the other side of what you just said, though, the true accountability, you're right. That's the part I think that has me the most concerned, is we're looking at upwards of $100 billion, billion with a B, over time, and I have not had anybody clearly illustrate what their level or style of accountability is. But then I go back to the question of what do we do in the face of a tyrannical former Soviet leader who is trying to just gain ground next door to NATO? And are we up? It gets the time already? All right. Hey, Sparky, man, appreciate the call. Music's playing. That means.
Hi, man.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas. Dang, I want to keep that conversation going. All right. Listen, We got more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live in the Right Side studios, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, man. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So text lines are still blowing up. I'll go back to, we'll wrap this section up here in just a few minutes, move on to the next part of the Triple Dipper, the other thing that's going to make everybody mad. It's like, and by the way, do I support Ukraine? Yeah, I do. Don't think that it's an infallible support. I mean, there's concerns. I share the same concerns y'all do. I just see right now that while I'd like to be doing things different, I would like to see some different level of accountability on the spend, that at the same time, I am not an isolationist. I am not going to say we shouldn't be involved at all. I mean, I think we have to say Putin stops here, because otherwise Putin's in the Baltics, you know. Putin's going to be stepping across into Poland. What does he want next? Moldova. I mean, there's already concerns about Moldova, Georgia. I mean, you're looking at countries that are trying to join NATO right now, Finland and Sweden, because they're concerned about the state of European affairs. We got a bunch of new textures today too, man.
Like
we should have kept a list of them so I could just call out the names and thank them.
We should have. I mean, at least 20 just in this past hour.
Good Lord. John from Lexington, South Carolina says, Finn, when does Europe step up? Well, Europe is definitely in. NATO and the European Union have both been supplying arms and funding. I don't know that I could say it's going to be on par with the United States, certainly not, but then we have a greater source of revenue than they do combined. But nonetheless, Europe is definitely engaged. The thing to watch right now, too, is Europe's going to have to stay the course because this is on their front, and I agree with that. Europe cannot just say, hey, United States on the far side of the Atlantic, would you take care of this? You remember Trump used to press NATO to keep its own commitments and to make sure that it was fully funding its own defense. And so I do believe that Europe probably needs to get more engaged, but they are engaged. General Jack Keane was on earlier. Charlene texted me. By the way, my wife is more astute than me on most stuff when it comes to politics and international relations with her degree in poli-sci and communications. But she texted me just a little while ago and said that General Jack Keane was on and that he said that there are 7 or 8 countries that are actually supporting at a higher level than we are, which I need to find that list because I have not heard that before. Others I got on here, Jerry from Decatur says, when communism raises its ugly head, the U.S. must maintain that we will fight back. If we don't, we might as well give up freedom and roll out the red carpet to them and shake their hand and thank them for coming. I realize that socialism is a sister of communism all the way, sir. Jerry in Decatur. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you. We got a new texter who calls himself Wiley Coyote in New Hope. All right. So, Wiley, appreciate you being on the show. Thanks for texting in. Who else we got here? Jacob from Chattanooga. We already got him. He was new on the line today. Tyler from Athens has been checking in. Where are we? I lost my new. Okay. Paul from Athens says he believes there's more corruption. He agrees with Sparky. He says, I'm ill because McConnell said Ukraine's the number one prayer. Well, McConnell, that was a knucklehead comment. By the way, nobody believes that Republicans across the nation believe that Ukraine is our number one priority. It's possible to have more than one priority, but to say they're our number one priority? No, our number one priority are things like our own economy, our own energy independence, our own ability to control our southern border, the fentanyl crisis. Those are higher priorities than the war in Ukraine, but the war in Ukraine is important. Let's put it that way. Bad choice of words, sir. He goes on to say, Paul from Athens, I believe there's more corruption involved than we know of. Paul Pelosi Jr., Hunter Biden, John Kerry's stepson, Mitt Romney's son have all worked with Ukrainian energy companies prior to this war. I agree. But I don't think that the Russian invasion should be ignored because we've had some corrupt politicians with their hands. In fact, I would hope that somewhere along the line, we're going to be able to get in there because we've been in Ukraine and get some records that will help us figure some of that out. Bryant from Huntsville says, we have given more aid to Ukraine than all other NATO countries combined. I think it's time to let the other countries contribute. They are contributing, sir. I don't know that we'll ever see them contribute to our level, no matter where they are in the world. But I don't dispute the fact that NATO's got to make sure they are front and center on this thing. John from Huntsville. Phil, have you ever looked up the Ukrainian mafia on the internet? They do a lot of horrible things. And their best buds are the Russians and the U.S. mafias. The U.S. mafia is pretty bad, too. And I'll go ahead and say the drug cartels in South America are horrible. It does not mean that we wouldn't help if, you know, Colombia was invaded. I'm just saying, I get it. I get there's corruption there. Y'all don't think that I don't. I get there's corruption there. But the reality is Russia has invaded. So do we sit idly by because there's a problem with crime in Ukraine? Or do we gain an ally for life that we can say we stopped Russia cold in its tracks and we have the ability to help Ukraine reform some of its processes? I mean, that's where we are. Fox News reports December 21st, that would be yesterday, that President Biden's administration will send Patriot missiles to Ukraine for the first time on Wednesday. I think what he's saying, he announced it on Wednesday. As Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visits Washington, the Patriot missiles are the country's most advanced air defense system. Yeah, that's a significant piece. That's a technological advance on anything we've sent over there so far. Now, granted, our Javelin missiles and our SAMs, our surface-to-air missiles, those are the Stingers, those have been turning the tide. But this is what we did, too, by the way, when the Russians and Soviets then invaded Afghanistan. We supplied Stinger missiles and other arms to the Northern Alliance, what became the Northern Alliance, to fight back. And that pretty much stymied the war, and the Soviet Union eventually pulled out in disgrace. I kind of feel like we're there again. All right, here's a more comprehensive update to wrap this up. From the Institute of War, General Jack Keane's think tank, they do the most in-depth deep dive. If you want to see deep dive, if you're a military analyst or you want to at least very, very, you know, sort of see in depth what's being said, how they analyze it, where it's coming from. All right. So they do this every single day. So the update winds up being 3 and 4 pages long per day. So just be aware, this is a deep dive. I'm not going into everything. Their most recent report, as of yesterday, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu presided over a Russian Ministry of Defense collegium in Moscow on December 21st, that's yesterday, and made significant statements pertaining to Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine and the strategic direction of the Russian military. All right, so what are we going here? Now, first of all, Russia's not going to get up there and call defeat. They're not going to get up there and talk about their losses. But they were actually very candid, to some degree, about the difficulties they've had in prosecuting the war. Shoigu, the defense minister, he publicly presented a series of proposed Russian defense to significantly increase the size of the Russian military. He's calling for the establishment of an entire new army corps and 17 new maneuver divisions. All right. First of all, that's probably not going to happen because, you know, it goes on to say further in this report, Russia's economy is in recession. Its resources to generate divisions have significantly decreased since the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Russia is also reportedly leveraging Belarusian trainers to train mobilized forces and possibly contract soldiers and conscripts. So their bandwidth is getting tight. And what they're doing now is they're having to basically bring in mercenaries, the Wagner Group. They're having to bring in Belarusians because they can't sustain on. They're having to use Iranian-made drones. And that's a clear indication that Russia's having trouble, like I said, prosecuting the war. Well, the Kremlin's not going to wind up expanding to that capacity. But the question is, what do those comments indicate? Well, what they indicate is that, in the words of the Institute for the Study of War, is that Putin and Shoigu have demonstrated that Russia is not interested in reducing its war efforts or its war aims, despite the growing toll on Russian society. They go on to say their comments further illustrate the Kremlin retains maximalist goals for the war in Ukraine that include the recognition of illegally annexed territories, regime change of the Ukrainian government, and the control of Ukraine's political and social character. In other words, Putin is not saying anything conciliatory. He's not talking at all openly about the idea of reconciliation or of finding some means of achieving peace through negotiation. What he's saying is he plans to take it all the way to the end. I don't know what that means in the long run. All I know is we are not seeing them back down. Institute for Study of War, great in-depth analysis, y'all. Good stuff, worth looking at. All right, wrapping it up, the text lines, James from Harvest. What's your opinion of all this mess with Russia getting us roped into another world war? I think I've been doing that for the last hour. I don't think we're getting into another world war at this point. I think right now we're trying to stop another world war. And then John from Brownsboro, I want Ukraine to win, but what linchpin needs to be pulled to make Putin back off or sever his ties to his military aid country enough to end it? Putin's ego won't let him relent of his own volition. I agree with you, John, and I don't know the answer to that question at this point. But I do know this. What he wants is capitulation. What he wants is for us to back off. What I want is accountability, and I want Russia to lose. All right, folks, that's plenty on that. We're going to go to Spendorama next, number two in the Triple Dipper. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back and move it forward with something that's got me just bent. Bent, man. And that's the fact that we got 18 Republicans that decided it was a great idea to join the Democrats and pass the biggest pork spending bill that we've seen in years. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're switching gears. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Spendorama Part 2. We spent time yesterday talking about the 1.7, 1.8, depending on who you're talking to, trillion. What's another point in the trillion-dollar bill? But anyway, the Spendorama was underway yesterday. And our caller earlier, I think it was Alan from Hartzell. He made the point. They dropped this 4,155-page bill. They didn't go through the normal committee processes to build it out so people could see it happening. And they dropped that sucker in. It took literally a cart to carry it into people's offices. And keep in mind, every senator is allowed to have a copy of it. 4,155 pages times 100 senators. Picture it. Killing some trees. Where's the Green New Deal now? Thank you very much. But all that to say, they dropped it in at 1:30 in the morning for everybody to read, and it came to the floor the very next day. So there we were, literally, watching government just do its thing. Now, first of all, understand this. This is an irresponsible way to do governance. This is absolute jackassery. Jackassery of the highest order. This is like King Kong jackassery. it wasn't until about 25 years ago that people were doing this kind of thing in D.C. They used to just pass the budgets like they're supposed to. But no, then they got into recognizing, hey, you know what? If we just commit some jackassery, we can hold this thing up to the very end, right to the point that we're about to see everybody in government employment lose their paycheck right before Christmas. Hey, that'll get it done. And then what they do is they spring it out there. And by the way, senators and congressmen, they're just people like the rest of us. They're watching a winter storm blow in. They're all sort of getting concerned about making it home for Christmas. You can imagine planes, trains, and automobiles. Things getting frozen up, cancellations of flights every which way. They don't want to have to be here another day. They want to make it home for Christmas, too. What does that do? It puts a burden on them to try and get it done. Hurry up, get it done. Leadership knows that. Leadership puts them in that position on purpose. So they won't spend time debating, so they won't spend time reading and making sure they've got all their amendments ready. Well, thank God for some of them who tried. Thanks again to Paul from Athens. Paul, appreciate you, man. Paul from Athens found the first article out there that I've seen. This one from the Daily Signal, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Daily Signal is an adjunct of the Heritage Foundation. So the Daily Signal put out their article here, and it says, headline, Stunning Act of Betrayal. That's the headline. Here are the 18 Senate Republicans who voted to pass the $1.8 trillion McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill. By the way, that's what it was. It was the McConnell-Schumer omnibus bill.
Well, we're going to try and pass this and spend some big money. Number one important thing, the most biggest priority is Ukraine.
Why is he still in the Senate? Anyway, the bottom line is McConnell, who is allegedly a Republican, helped lead the charge to join Schumer in getting this thing passed. Now, I'll be honest, there's a few names in there that I'm looking at going, I don't appreciate that. I thought more of Tom Cotton, but he's one of the ones who voted for it, and I don't get it. I'd like to hear his commentary later on as to why. But some of the ones you can expect are the ones who voted. By the way, the large number of people out there who believe that Tuberville was going to vote for this bill are now wrong. Now, I will say this. Senator Tuberville, he did, in fact, vote for the procedural vote that allows this thing to come to a debate. I don't know what his strategy was. I've been on the mind before when I was in the state legislature in Montgomery. You kill a bill sometimes on not letting it out of committee. You can kill a bill sometimes by not letting it have its procedural votes. Other times, you also recognize that if you allow it to pass forward on a procedural vote, you can trap them with amendments that you want to try and get on the bill, because the only way you can get it amended is to be allowed to go forward and put the amendments on. That being said, I don't know what his motivation was for a procedural bill or procedural vote, but Coach Tuberville did indeed vote against the bill itself. 18 Republicans right now have joined in. We're looking at Roy Blunt from Missouri, John Boozman from Arkansas, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Susan Collins from Maine, John Cornyn from Texas, Tom Cotton, of all people, from Arkansas. You just lost my – there went that man crush. Tom Cotton, I'm disappointed in that one. Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, Jerry Moran from Kansas, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Rob Portman from Ohio, Mitt Romney from Utah, Mike Round, South Dakota, Richard Shelby from Alabama, John Thune, South Dakota, Roger Wicker, Mississippi, Todd Young, Indiana, and there were three Republicans who were not on record because they were probably out of the building or didn't make it back for the vote or something, I don't know. All that to say, those Republicans should be ashamed of themselves. And the only one in there who I look at and go, wow, really? I mean, I expect this from Romney. I expect this from Murkowski. I expect this from Susan Collins. I expect it from Mitch McConnell. I even expected it from Richard Shelby. I did not expect that from Tom Cotton. So I guess we'll find out more later on as to why he did what he did. In the meantime, I am glad to say that our U.S. delegation was split. And now I suspect that what we'll wind up seeing is an interesting amalgam of votes from our House delegation, because this thing just passed, and it is literally going to a vote potentially in the House tonight. Tonight. Wow. All right, listen. We're up against a break. I know we are. I don't hear the music playing, but I think we're there. Yep, we are. There's the music. That means the pastor's got to stop preaching. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Spindorama. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Play, man.
I agree.
All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're on number two of the Triple Dipper, Spindorama. Well, I just labeled it as jackassery a while ago. That's where I'm at. Just watching this $1.7 trillion spendorama going on, and we just had 18 Republicans who joined in. One of them was our Senator Shelby, but I am thankful to say that our Senator Tuberville chose to vote against the bill. It now goes to the House, where one report here from Fox News, which came out just about an hour and a half ago, says that Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expected to hold a vote on it as early as this evening. This evening. Tonight. 4,155-page piece of legislation transferred from the Senate to the House, vote on it the same day. Why not? Heck! You know Nancy will have to vote on it to see what's in it. Well, she's got the bare majority right now that it takes to get it passed. All we can hope right now is that a few Democrats get the flu, and they can't be there. That's all we can hope for right now, is she's got a very slim majority. If Republicans will stay the course, she's going to have all of her Democrats. And we'll see. But, yeah, just a great way for Nancy to retire. Got a call on line one. Let me grab that real quick. Line one, Clay from Madison. Clay, how you doing?
Dr. Ruffian, the professor of right. How are you today?
I'm well, sir. I'm well. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
So yesterday you asked a question, and this, you know, it's not a spendorama. It's more like a spendgasm. Why does Mitch McConnell have so much power? Well, power brings in money, and money buys power. I bet if you looked at all the people that voted, all the senators that voted in favor of this massive mistake, we'll just call it that simply, see how much money Mitch McConnell poured into their campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
He has the power. Or he has the purse string. He's got that Senate campaign fund, which is in the hundreds of millions. You know, he tried to, we got a Democrat senator for a short term because of his money.
Right.
And we lost Mo Brooks because of his money.
Right.
But, you know, money buys power. Power gives you money. So just follow the money, you know, follow his campaign contributions. Follow who's beholden to him. That's who you get the votes from.
I don't disagree with that, Clay. Let me ask you a question. Here's the question I have, though, is if that were all true across the board, I mean, aside from people like Shelby, who's retiring, who's just going to get a building named after him or something, but if all those who are staying on board, if that's their motivation, what is McConnell's motivation? Why is he willing to join Schumer? What is he gaining from this? Why did he see this as a good idea? And I don't have a good answer on that one.
We don't see the backdoor deals that are going on in the Senate all the time. It doesn't matter what goes on for which party and which kind of bill. There's backdoor deals in every piece of legislation that comes out of that body. And, you know, we just don't see them.
Well, that's true. And some of those, though, I don't care. I mean, if someone gets a committee position because they voted on something that's not really going to wind up affecting the world, like that, but this is $1.7 trillion of just wrong and filled with pork. And you look at it and go, why is Tom Cotton voting for this?
Well, he got something. Either he's beholden to McConnell for his election and the money, campaign money, or he got something. Somewhere in those 4,100 pages is something for Tom Cotton's district.
Well, we'll find out sometime soon. Hey, Clay, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Let me tell you some things that are in there. Let me do this first. Let me tell you what almost jimmied up the bill. This was fun. I enjoyed this. Last night, Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, who very conservative. I like Mike Lee. Senator Mike Lee dropped an amendment on the bill that would have extended Title 42 to fight immigration at the southern border. And suddenly Schumer had to call a break because he was concerned that, the speculation is, he didn't say it this way, but it was speculation that Schumer was concerned that that amendment might actually pass. And the Democrats couldn't stand it. And they knew that it would jimmy things up again in the House if it went down there with that amendment on it. So Schumer had to step back and try to get things fixed in his own caucus, because literally the Mike Lee Title 42 immigration reform amendment was concerning the Democrats so much. Now think about that. They have put hundreds of millions of dollars into that piece of legislation to promote border security in Middle Eastern countries. But they did not want an amendment that would have allowed a simple policy to be put in place that would make the border more secure in our own country. What does that tell you about their priorities? Well, Fox News reports that, last night, Title 42 was the only thing standing between us and absolute pandemonium, said Lee, and the Democrats won't let us do this. Why? Because they're afraid it might pass. And so apparently somehow or another, around 2 a.m. in the morning, Schumer cut things off, took it to the House, not the House of Congress, but literally sort of cut things off for the evening and came back today, and apparently he had whipped his own people, so he had the votes, and they got rid of the amendment, of Mike Lee's amendment, and it went on without it. I got a caller on line four. I'll take it. Mark from Athens. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Doing good, Phil. You know, I hate to be this guy because I'm usually never a conspiracy guy at all.
Okay.
But one thing that I've noticed, and you talk about Shelby, you know, you look at all these Republicans that have been leaders that have phased themselves out, and I don't understand why they all disappear. Like President Bush, gone, non-existent, not helping push forward any kind of anything. Individuals like Condoleezza Rice and different people that were big leaders, and they just have completely disappeared. And it just seems like that. And then now you see, you know, Bush was buddy-buddy with the Obamas and all these things. To me, it just almost seems like they kind of see the world kind of going more into a liberal area, and they're just hedging their bets on the future of, like, maybe it is going to go this far left direction. Let's just kind of jump off this team and move towards this one because they're going to be able to take care of us later in the past. Like I said, I know it sounds kind of crazy and a conspiracy, but that's one thing that I've been very shocked about, is that when you look at the Republicans, all you see is they're leaning towards Trump. And it's like, where's all these other great leaders and people in the Republican Party that helped really get it, you know, there? Where are they?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that. There's some rising leaders, of course, DeSantis being one, who used to be a member of the Freedom Caucus, very fiscally conservative, very culturally conservative. But I guess I'm just spitballing here with you for a minute, but I think on my recollection was President Bush, George W. Bush, came from an era where it was you don't speak out against the current president, because now Trump doesn't share that, obviously. He doesn't share that at all. But Bush left office with the sort of the professional courtesy type thing that you don't speak out against a current sitting president because you know how hard the job was when you had it, and the election put that person in office, so let them do their job. Now, Bush has gone and campaigned for some people, but he has not spoken in terms of true policy in quite a while that I've seen.
To me, it just seemed like, you know, like, yeah, you're right. He didn't do that, but the optics of going and hanging out and, you know, becoming pen pals with Michelle Obama wasn't the best optics either, in my opinion. Like, it looks like you kind of went some way. You just didn't verbally say it.
And I would love to see some of them come back. Now, there's a few of them that I don't miss, but I would love to see some of them come back. But hey, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, you too.
You know, there was an article, by the way, on National Review dated yesterday. It literally, here's the headline, McConnell negotiating against Republicans. That was the headline. National Review, by the way, if you're not familiar, National Review is usually pretty conservative. Now, I will say this, National Review has been in a tussle with Trump lately. So if you're a Trump fan, National Review might aggravate you. But they got some good writers over there. Jonah Goldberg, people like that. But National Review has a headline, McConnell negotiating against Republicans. Says McConnell begins by bragging that the omnibus spending deal includes military budget increases without the domestic spending increases that Democrats normally demand. He then specifies that these increases are about matching America's foes. Well, overall support for Ukraine is showing its limits, and it gives some, you know, outlines as to why. But it basically says in the article that McConnell was negotiating against Republicans. And that's National Review saying that. Wow, that just tells you something. You'll be happy to know, by the way, that there are some very important things in that bill. We read some of them yesterday. Like, for instance, there is a LGBTQ2IA plus and BIPOC housing development in Albany, New York that's being funded. You'll be happy to know that the Blacks for Wax or Wax for Blacks Museum in Philadelphia, or Boston, I believe it was, is being built with money from this budget. You'll be happy to know that coral reefs and salmon production are also being protected. You'll be happy to know that there is funding in there for border security, like I said earlier, in Middle Eastern countries, but not our own. You'll also be happy to know that there's actually a provision in the bill that puts hundreds of millions of dollars into basically population control in areas in which biodiversity is threatened. What does that mean? Take out the gobbledygook and just say it like normal people talk. That's funding abortions in places where they believe that green energy and the Green New Deal is not being implemented well enough. In other words, if the trees are being threatened, we need to kill off some people so the trees are happier. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's also criminal that it's in that bill at all. That's a concept called Malthusianism, which I've only just recently become familiar with. Check it out. You'll also be happy to know that Breitbart now reports that in the Spendorama, the omnibus bill, taxpayers will pay to erect a monument to journalists in D.C. You heard me. Taxpayers will fund the erection of press statues in Washington, D.C., along with handing out media subsidies worth over $1 billion. Unless something changed, that's still in the bill. It sets up the, and by the way, you know, you have to actually apply to Congress, I believe, to be allowed to create a memorial in D.C., because otherwise there'd be, you know, you wouldn't be able to walk for statues. So it does establish Section 708 of the bill. The establishment media will be given a commemorative location in D.C. to honor journalists. So, yeah, that's wonderful. The statues will be located in Area 1, which is along the mall, near the White House, the Tidal Basin, the Theodore Roosevelt Island, all that area. The omnibus bill also provides taxpayer money to the establishment media. In Section 407 of the bill, taxpayers will give over $500 million to PBS and NPR. Wow. And $600 million for their infrastructure. Wow. Pays to be public radio. They'll still be doing a telethon. Don't worry. They'll ask for your money, too. And the GOP, by the way, did score a couple of things. Number one, they did reduce funding for the IRS. Praise God. Now, it does remind us that the 87,000 new IRS agents, they were actually in the quote unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which didn't reduce inflation one bit. But within the major budget, Republicans did get an amendment on there that reduced IRS funding. So maybe there's a counterbalance to the, you know, Inflation Reduction Act. Boomer, take us to a break before I just pass out over here because of all the jackassery going on in D.C. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back and talk about why we even do omnibus bills. And then coming up, top of the hour, Congressman Mo Brooks on the air with us. We'll talk about maybe all this stuff with him. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Let's move through the final stages here of the Spendorama Part 2. Spendorama is where we're at, man, because they're spending it. And right now, all we can do is hope for the House. I don't want to wish the flu on anybody, but if a few Democrats could be absent this evening, that'd be great. Maybe they're already catching their flights home. But you know what? Now that I say that, though, I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi has done away with proxy voting, so they could probably vote from home right now because, you know, COVID's still out there. It's a scary world. So why show up in D.C. when you can get on your computer at home and just vote? So they'll probably get it. So then we have to have a couple of or three or four or nine Democrats defect. And what are the odds? What are the odds? I mean, wow. All right, that being said, let me just go ahead and say this. Mitch McConnell just hosed the Republican agenda. Well, let me correct that. He had no agenda. He went into the midterm elections openly stating that he had no agenda and did not intend to put one out. Republicans in Congress had an agenda. Kevin McCarthy has been saying everything that you want to hear right now from someone who hopes to be the next Speaker of the House. To the extent that he's also openly excoriated McConnell for doing this and putting them in this position. Because what could have happened very easily is McConnell could have said, no, we're not doing this. All you Republicans join me. We're not doing this. We're not passing this thing. They got to have 60 votes or we're not going to give it to them. And then it would have allowed the new Republican Congress to come in and have the ability to put together their own version of a budget. But now, as it stands, this budget is funding 2023. This is going to go forward. It's going to be there. And by the way, some of the things in there are being put into place in perpetuity. They're spending money that's going to be, you know, several years in the making. And so now the Republicans have to wait another year before they have a chance to pass a budget with any, you know, Republican, true Republican input. National Review has a piece that the editors of National Review put out, dated today. And the headline of it is, it's time to put an end to the end-of-the-year omnibus bills. I totally agree. This is part of why it's so irresponsible. They point out the end of the calendar year is supposed to be a time for merry celebrations, but Congress makes it about consolidated appropriations. Yet again, the American people are being treated to a Consolidated Appropriations Act. See, here's the thing. They point out this way. Congress has a committee system that divides responsibilities for overseeing various parts of the government, and they're each supposed to produce their own spending bills in a process that's meant to take months in preparation for the next fiscal year. In that time, Congress is supposed to debate the spending, offer the amendments, and vote on each of the spending bills separately. But instead, Congress waits until arbitrary statutory deadlines to fund government bring us down to the wire. They squeeze all the bills together and they announce a vote within days on some massive number of pages authorizing a mind-boggling amount of spending. This year, like I've said several times, it's 4,155 pages, $1.7 trillion. They point out that's roughly $409 million a page on average. Full of special interest handouts and wasteful programs that Americans have become accustomed to. This is not the way it's supposed to run. It's the way it helps the special interests. It's the way it helps the moderate leadership. It's the way it helps the liberal agenda. It's the way it keeps Republicans in their place. And oh, by the way, Republicans helped make it happen because it would not have happened had it not been for McConnell and 17 other so-called Republicans who decided to join with Schumer and make this happen. $1.7 trillion filled with pork. Well, we're going to come back here in a minute with Congressman Mo Brooks. He's in the final days of his time in federal politics, at least for now, as far as we know. But Congressman Brooks has been one of the more conservative, fiscally conservative members of the legislature, of the Senate, excuse me, of the House for many years. We're going to get his take on this. We'll probably hear what he has to say about Ukraine, what he has to say about Spendorama, and then we're going to ask him about what he thinks about the January 6th Commission Big Nothing Burger that has referred charges on former President Trump, and yet to what end? Is anything going to happen? Probably not. How much of our time and money do they waste? Oh, well, Liz Cheney's not coming back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, hour number three. Unbelievable, Boomer, hour number three.
But I know it.
It's fast. But this has been some hot topics today. So we've been covering down on some ground today. And let me tell you, we're about to go live on the phones with our own Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman Brooks has been serving Alabama's 5th Congressional District now since 2011. He got his undergraduate degree from Duke University, his law degree from the University of Alabama, a founding member of the Freedom Caucus, which you've heard me talk about them quite a bit on this show. and has been serving very capably. Let me just bring him on right now. Congressman Brooks, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. I've got my faucets covered for the 5-degree weather overnight. Thermal underwear is ready to grab and go if needed. Oh, it's going to be something over the next 12 to 14 hours.
It's going to be like epic cold, like Arctic stuff we're talking about here, right here in Alabama even. It's just going to be unbelievably cold.
It is. Say in Denver, I don't know if you saw, but they dropped 37 degrees in 42 minutes.
What?
Casper, Wyoming, they dropped 70 degrees overnight.
Holy smokes. That is, in fact, that almost sounds like some kind of like end of times movie or something is what it sounds like. Well, hey, Congressman, let me ask you a few questions here. Now, I want to get to the January 6th commission in a minute, but we've had some breaking news, and we spent a bit of time on the show today talking about the omnibus spending package that made it through the Senate today and now is coming back to the House maybe as early as tonight. Give me your thoughts, and are all the Republicans going to stand together in the House at the very least? What are your thoughts on this?
This omnibus bill is so bad in so many different ways, I'm not sure where to start. You've got the debt junkie wing of the Republican Party that got this through the United States Senate. Similarly, there'll be some number of Republicans in the House who will be in the minority amongst the GOP conference that will help the Democrats pass it in the House. But just to give you some overview, it is financially irresponsible. It's going to increase our deficit, according to Heritage Action, our Heritage Foundation, by about $2.7 trillion over the next decade. Ugh. And as you know, our accumulated debt is one of the drivers of inflation. It makes a whole lot more sense to postpone it, this issue, have a temporary funding bill, and postpone the big fight for about 3 weeks when the Republicans are in control of the House. But unfortunately, that cadre of debt junkie senators, led by our own Senator Richard Shelby, they're pushing it through. And in all likelihood, it's going to pass sometime later today in the House of Representatives. If not today, then tomorrow. It's just got a lot of bad things in it. But it is what it is.
Well, it does have a lot of bad things in it. It's amazing to me the amount of pork that was shoved in there. Let me ask you a question that we've been talking about on the show quite a bit. And I know that you, during the most recent campaign season, you had openly said that if you could get to the Senate, you were going to try and unseat McConnell and not support him for continued leadership. Why was Mitch McConnell so intent upon moving forward with Schumer to pass this when he could have done a CR and allowed the new Republican Congress to have more of a say in the budget processes after the first of the year?
Mitch McConnell and Richard Shelby raised a lot of money, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, from special interest groups. And it is this type of legislation that is used to pay back those special interest groups for the money that they funneled into campaign coffers to help various groups win election. So it's a political payback. And this is not unique, okay, Phil? I don't know how often or how long you've been paying attention to what goes in Washington, but in every one of my 12 years, the appropriators, Richard Shelby being an appropriator, have failed to pass the spending bills by September 30th, which is the deadline for getting it done, so you have a full year spending bill. And they have always pushed these spending issues until right before Christmas or right before New Year's, when congressmen and senators, in order to get out of Dodge, are willing to vote for a lot of bad things that they can spend the holidays home with their family. And so it's a political strategy. You've got special interests that want to do really bad things to the United States of America because it benefits them personally. They cannot get those things done in standalone bills, so they have to have this kind of setting where they can throw their wish list into these spending bills and other types of must-pass spending bills. And that's why you find us in this jam so often every holiday season.
Yeah, I just covered down a minute ago on that very issue. The editors of National Review came out hard against that topic and said it's time to end the omnibus spending packages at the end of the year. And I completely agree. And I've been watching this for a while. I remember in 2010 making comments during one of my own campaign commercials that at the very least we have a balanced budget amendment in Alabama, and they can't even figure out how to pass a budget in D.C. Well,
there are special interests that don't want that done, and those special interests have puppets, congressmen and senators, and those special interests pull those strings, and so we are where we are. And probably the worst thing about Washington is the purchasing of committee assignments or chairmanships. If you want to be a chairman of a major committee in the House of Representatives, and a major committee is defined as one that the special interests care a lot about because they can do a lot of damage through them, then the minimum bid price is $1 million. And you literally $1 million. Okay. That's not just rounding off kind of thing. That is in fact what it is. And if you can't get that $1 million from your constituents, Joe and Jane Citizen, and you can't, but if you can't get it, then that forces you to go to special interests who demand a quid pro quo. And so you're seeing the payback to those special interests right now with this omnibus and other types of must-pass legislation where very bad things sought by special interests are added on. There is no constraint in Washington about what can be put into a bill.
Well,
unlike you were in the legislature, one subject matter only, right?
Right.
That's in our Constitution.
Right.
In Washington, you can put everything in the kitchen sink into a piece of legislation. And it's a horrible way to govern. And now we're looking at 4,000 pages of spending that no one's been able to read.
Well, Congressman, and by the way, I want to have a chance before we got about 5 minutes left. So before we run out of time, let me ask you this one question more on the spendorama before we go into the January 6th commission. In the current, you know, public discourse on this spendorama, as I've been calling it, we had members of the Freedom Caucus and some other members of the body led by Representative Chip Roy claiming that they're going to do all they can to try and stymie any bills that come from a Republican senator who voted for this legislation. Is that even an effective strategy? Can that work? Can they actually stymie that? Can they jimmy up the works that way?
Perhaps. In the past, the Republicans, the conservatives, the people who are financially responsible have never been willing to stick together to the degree that is necessary to force the Senate to be patriotic and do what's in the best interest of the United States of America. They may as well try it. Nothing else has worked. I hope they're successful. But whether they are successful, that will depend on whether our more liberal debt junkie wing in the House of Representatives, all claiming to be Republicans, will go along. Typically in the past, what has happened is our debt junkie Republicans in the House have aligned themselves with the big spending Democrats, and that's the majority.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, in the essence of time, let me go ahead and switch subjects on you. So I've been calling the January 6th commission a giant nothing burger, a colossal waste of time. You, of course, had your name bandied about with them. You had your own dealings with them. You were not referred by them to the DOJ, which I'm glad to see. But nonetheless, is anything going to come of these referrals to the DOJ? And what are your thoughts in the last 3 minutes we got here together, what are your thoughts on the final outcomes of the January 6th Commission, whose report is due to come out still?
The January 6th Committee, which the media calls Select, was a witch hunt committee from the get-go. Its sole function was to present a message that would help Democrats win elections in November. That's it. Okay, and as long as you understand that, then you know where they're coming from and where they're going. They did not seek to discern the truth. If they had sought to discern the truth, then they would have used a process more akin to what you see in a court of law.
Right, cross-examination and all
both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll give you an example. I offered to testify twice in writing, sent out news releases saying, yeah, I'm willing to do it, but it's got to be done in public. This is the public's business. But they rejected that both times, because that would interfere with the one-sided messaging they wanted, with the partisanship that they were promoting. If the public were to hear both sides of the story, then the public would have a much different impression of what we were doing as we fought for election integrity.
Well, I know, by the way, that you're not a huge fan of Donald Trump right now. You've made that very clear of late, and I understand all that. Do you see this as being anything, though, that can stick to him? Is it going to just basically inflame his base and give him more street cred with Republicans? What are your thoughts on that?
Very good question. Time will answer that question. I will say from personal experience that Donald Trump tends to think that he is above the law. And that puts him at risk of being caught, because a person who thinks that they are above the law is the same kind of person who is apt to cross that line between legal and illegal. Now, I'm not saying that these four recommended criminal charges against Donald Trump will stick. I don't know the answer to that. I hope that the judicial system will examine it and will do what should be done to enforce the law and make sure that everybody is treated equally, regardless of their political status or their wealth. Time will again be the answer to that question, too. I suspect that there probably will be indictments. I don't know what a judge and jury will do. All we can pray for is that a just verdict is rendered if those indictments are forthcoming. But all the intel I get from the inside is that there's a high probability that Donald Trump will be indicted not just based on the January 6th Witch Hunt Committee's recommendations, but also in other matters in other states. Now, whether that intel is accurate, no way to know at this point. There's so much rumor mill and gossip in politics, particularly in Washington, D.C. You have to take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Well, Congressman, thanks so much for making time for us. And listen, we want you to remain, you know, a voice on Right Side Radio in perpetuity. So just know that you're always welcome on the show. We appreciate you. We appreciate your service to this state and this nation. And we wish you a Merry Christmas, sir.
Well, thank you so much. And anytime you want to discuss, you've got my number.
All right. Congressman Mo Brooks, appreciate you. Have a great day.
Take care.
All right. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll come back and digest some of that a little bit, and then heading into the final half hour of the show. Wow, that got here fast. Hot topics, lots of activity. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, getting close to go-home time. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. You hear me talk all the time about my friends at Riley & Jackson Law Firm. All right, so Riley & Jackson, they truly are my friends. I know these folks quite well, and they are folks I've worked with on issues before. I've worked with them on cases before. They're a major firm out of Birmingham, but they practice all over the state. And they are working on some things right now that they really want me to tell you about. So number one is this. If you are ever at Camp Lejeune, all right, you've heard about the water contamination cases. If you were ever at Camp Lejeune between the years of 1953 to 1987, that's a long spread, 53 to 87, you may well have been exposed to a confirmed contamination of the water there that has caused up to 19 different major illnesses. So if you, a military member, a service dependent, a trainee while you were there, a contractor, doesn't matter. If you were there between 53 and 87, you may have been exposed and you may be eligible for a claim. You can ask them. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Here's the other piece they wanted me to let you know. They are working on a case right now also that deals with firefighting foam. If you are a first responder dealing with firefighting foam or in the military using firefighting foam, you may well have been exposed to a carcinogenic version of firefighting foam that is some pretty nasty stuff, man. So here's the deal. Don't try to figure it out on your own and then call them. Call them. They'll tell you whether you may or may not be eligible for a claim, and they're not going to charge you for the call. All right? Riley and Jackson, here's their phone number. Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And by the way, these folks, man, they're going to work with you. They are solid. They won't get paid unless they get money for you. And I will tell you this. This kind of law firm, they're not only good on the law, they're good on the politics too, if you know what I'm saying. All right, Riley and Jackson, call them. No representation made the quality of legal service before was great, but quality of legal service before other lawyers. Bam. Notice how I just do that? It just flows right off. Boomer.
It just flows.
Just like this happens.
Ta-da.
I say it in my sleep.
Yes.
Let me wrap up this section. So really the interview with Congressman Mo Brooks there was in part designed to be the January 6th nothing burger part of the Triple Dipper, which we'll cover down some more in the next half hour if we have to. I will say this, just so you know, the January 6th Commission, according to an article in Newsweek that's dated September 9th, so this is a little while back, they had already spent $3.3 million to conduct their work just between April and June of this year. $3.3 million. They had 57 staffers, including lawyers, investigators, and other staff, which had $1.6 million in total salaries. They paid out $1.6 million in their total compensation. They rival the other major committees of House Judiciary and the Committee on Education and Labor, which are two of the biggest committees in Congress. This thing was a behemoth. This was a spendorama of its own. This was literally a colossal waste of time, because what have they come out with? Well, where's their report? Oh, that's right. They haven't put it out yet. Meanwhile, the House GOP issued a report that literally destroys Nancy Pelosi. This article comes off of Red State. You won't hear this on the major media networks because they're in the bag for the Democrats. But redstate.com says the House GOP's January 6th report just came out and destroys Pelosi. This story came out yesterday. It literally points out the fact that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had it within her power to do certain things to have the National Guard on station. She was not responding to requests from the Capitol Police for additional assistance or force protection. And it happened on her watch because she's in charge. She's in charge of security and security preparations. And they saw this coming, and there were deep concerns, and they didn't get the assistance from the speaker that they needed, and now she's blaming Trump. Okay, there's that. I'm gonna stop there and say this. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines up. I got something I need from y'all. 833-687-4448. I want you to tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are by telling me a toy you got for Christmas when you were a kid.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
You like the way I did that?
Yeah.
Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are by telling me what toy you got for Christmas as a kid.
Ooh, okay.
I can't wait to talk about this one.
Oh, that's good. I'll be thinking.
833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number. Text it or call it. 833-687-4448. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Last half hour. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about this show covers down on some ground across the northern part of the great state of Alabama, down south of Birmingham to up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, folks, it's go-home time, and the weather's getting cold and real cold overnight, like woo cold overnight. Tomorrow, what a great day to stop by Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just stop on in the morning and just know that they've got like what Charlene calls a treat coffee. You can get a cappuccino, an espresso, a latte, steaming hot. Or they can grind the beans fresh for you with their award-winning dry roast and make it a light roast, medium roast, or dark roast cup of coffee. Listen, it sure beats the usual stuff that you might get, like at the break room at work, or just even in your own little nasty coffee maker at the house. I'm just saying, treat yourself to something special. They've got amazing food, great atmosphere, good prices, good service. Oh, good coffee. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on South Parkway in Huntsville, the other on Hughes Road in Madison. Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville, Just Love Coffee Cafe. And please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Hey, we opened up a minute ago Pandora's box, apparently, because so here's the deal. I want to hear from my Right Side ruffians out there. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are by telling me what toy you got for Christmas. The text line blew up. I got a caller. Does that say Ray from Hawaii? We got Ray from Hawaii on the line?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take it, man. Ray from Hawaii. How you doing, man?
Aloha, Phil. First time listener, brother. I just wanted to wish everybody Mele Kalikimaka, Merry Christmas.
Well, and, thank you, sir.
Yeah, just, well, anyway, the playing cards, jacks, and other, you know, when growing up, we're all poor, and not all of us, but Goodwill Salvation Army, fourth hand-me-downs. That's what we got for Christmas.
Yeah, well, yes, you know, sir. But it gives you a greater appreciation, I'm sure. I can tell by the way you're talking about it. For anything
Amen,
you may have
brother.
Now. Hey, Ray, I got to ask you, is it getting cold in Hawaii, or are y'all going to stay warm like unlike the rest of us?
We're about maybe 81, 82 degrees right now.
Well, so you listen to us on the iHeartRadio app, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, man, we appreciate you. Call in anytime, and it's good to know we've got listeners out there on the far reaches, brother. Merry Christmas to you.
Much blessings to you and your listeners. God bless you all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Well, that was cool. Ray from Hawaii, of all things. Called in
Thanks,
live
Ray.
From Hawaii. That's just cool. I know that I say all the time that our second biggest audience in the podcast is California. And what was the other state you said was catching up with California? Was
Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah, like I just doing ministry in a foreign land, I reckon. There we go. Hey, call in if you want to, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are. By telling me what toy you got for Christmas when you were a kid. Tim from Tony, Alabama, says he got Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah, buddy, I had me some Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I used to love that. You knocked my block off. That was an excellent toy. Love that one. Bob from Decatur got an Erector set. I had an Erector set. So far, I am batting 1,000 with the people. Brian from Bob from Decatur, Erector set. Tammy from Tony, Alabama. Just joined on, and she's a first-time texter, and she had an Easy Bake Oven. There you go.
Easy Bake Oven.
By the way, that's kind of crazy when you can actually cook a cake with a light bulb. That's what an Easy Bake Oven did, I think. It had a light bulb in there with reflective surfaces, and you could bake a little cake in with a light bulb. A couple more, and I got a phone caller. Paul from Athens, he still has the Evil Knievel. the Evil Knievel toy. I think my brother had that one. Had the Sky Cycle that you jump off a ramp. And he also had the Rock'em Sock'em Robot. And, by the way, Boomer, Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, yes.
It's a Boomer, we were talking off the air. Boomer had the Stretch Armstrong. John from Huntsville got a Super Nintendo. Okay, so, John, I see a slightly different time frame here. Rock'em Sock'em Robots to the Super Nintendo. But that's good stuff. That's John from Huntsville. Alicia from Gadsden got a reel-to-reel tape recorder. Yeah. There's an entire generation that doesn't even know what a tape recorder is, much less a reel-to-reel. So, Alicia from Gadsden, thank you for that. I got some callers on the line. Boomer, when you're ready, buddy, you give me the thumbs up. But he's taking calls as we speak. Line one, I'll do line two, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing, man?
Mighty fine, folks, and I'll go through this quick. But I also forgot about Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I had those, but my prize ones were Captain Kirk and Spock action figures.
Nice. That's right. I think my brother had some of those action figures. I had Captain Kirk. He had Spock, if I recall. And then, but of course, there's always the G.I. Joe. Did you have a G.I. Joe?
Oh, then multiple ones, even the one with the Kung Fu grip.
That's right. And these are the full size. These are the real G.I. Joes. I had the original one with the plastic hair, and if you pulled his dog tag chain, he'd say different things like, "Let's take the high ground, men," and stuff like that.
Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye. See you, Brian. Line three, Dennis from Rogersville. Dennis, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Doing good.
Well, good, man. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are, but telling me what toy you got as a kid.
Clackers.
You had clackers. I'd forgotten about clackers. Clackers was a crazy toy. Those are dangerous toys,
yeah.
Too. they had to change the material they were made out of because they kept shearing off and hurting people. But all right, Dennis, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Line four, Steve from Muscle Shoals. Steve, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Well, tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are, but telling me what toy you got as a kid.
Okay, the two biggest ones I remember was a knight castle with knights and the dungeons and everything.
Oh, wow.
And then it was made out of tin. And Santa Claus had to put all of those pieces together with the little pieces that stuck in the crevices, and then they bend them down to hold them together.
Yeah.
And then the next Christmas, I got an Alamo.
Oh, man.
With all the Mexicans and Davy Crockett in them.
You know how much those would be worth now if you still had them?
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
But
well, that's so the tin castles and all that, I'm imagining what time frame you got those in because everything else was plastic in my generation.
Right.
Well, Steve, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling in, bud.
All right.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Paul from Athens just texted in. He got the Evel Knievel, like he said earlier, but he also had a wood-burning set. So, Boomer, this was like the most awful thing ever. I had a wood-burning set.
All right.
So picture this. You give a small child a electric iron that burns wood. So you can burn your initials into a piece of wood. I mean, and picture the level of third-degree burns that children are cut. They're banned now. You can't get them.
Well, I'm sure. I wonder how many third-degree burns we got out of these things.
There's not enough salve and Band-Aids in the world to cover down on the damage that wood-burning sets did to kids. I had one, and I just remember.
What else did you burn is the question.
I don't want to talk about it. There are certain things that I still have not confessed after all these years. Raven from Russell just texted in and said he got a playset from the TV series Combat with an M2 machine gun and combat gear. Yeah, bro. I like it. The TV series Combat, by the way, was actually considered one of the most realistic war shows ever put on TV. Scott from Huntsville is brand new on the texting line. And he said, in 1969, I got a G.I. Joe with lifelike hair and a beard. I remember that. And I, by the way, also, Scott, I had, and some of y'all probably had it out there too, I had the G.I. Joe footlocker. It was about the size of a shoebox, and it looked like a military footlocker, which, do they even do footlockers anymore? And you opened it up, and it had, like, all the grenades and the uniforms and the extra rifles and, you know, just madness, the kind of things that just, you know, make you just, your testosterone just grow while you're a kid.
That's awesome. Michelle from Huntsville said, yeah. Robbie the Robot.
Oh, yeah, Robbie the Robot.
And she sent a picture in, too. I mean,
oh, did she really? Where is it? Michelle from Huntsville. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, she still got it? That's cool. Okay.
Yep, she still got it. That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And I love the picture, too.
Chris from Gadsden, Stretch Armstrong. There's you another stretch. I had a Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong.
And Stretch Armstrong. Did yours, Boomer? You had one too. You said right.
Yes.
Did it come with the so-called patches, which looked like Band-Aids?
Did they really work?
I don't think they really did.
I remember playing with my Stretch Armstrong and then it magically disappearing. I don't know where it went. Probably because it started.
Yeah. Suddenly corn syrup was being leaked through the house, and no one knew why. Then they realized, oh. Boomer's been playing with the Stretch Armstrong again. Joe from Elkmont got the $6 million man figure with the rocket. Yes, sir. I had a $6 million, or my brother did. I think my brother had a $6 million man, and you could look through. He had the bionic eye. You could look through the back of his head like a telescope. Kind of creepy, but there it is. And he had, you could see the mechanics in his arms and legs, you know. Brian from Huntsville had a Stretch Monster, too. Not just Stretch Armstrong, but a Stretch Monster. That's good stuff. All right, listen, let's do this. Boomer, take the break right now. Folks, you want to keep telling us I'm loving this. We're ending on a lighter note, 833-687-4448. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are, just by telling me what toy you got for the kid. I am reminiscing in a big way right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, folks, before I go any further, I got to quickly tell you about ZLA Solutions. I mean, some of y'all out there right now are in go-home mode. You're headed home from the job, and maybe you're thinking it's time for another job. Or maybe you're one of those who, for some reason, is just not in the workforce right now, and you're looking for a job. Let me just suggest to you ZLA Solutions. These folks have been with us since this show started. I know them personally, and they are doing an epic good job at lining up people and work. So if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They got tons of jobs posted right now across North Alabama. But also, if you're an employer, you're looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce. You need more people, basically. Doesn't matter whether it's onesies and twosies with special niche skills or a whole shift full of people, they can square you away. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. They will do what they can to do what they love to say is make your business better. That's their bread and butter, man. All right, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com, and please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I got several callers on the line. Boomer, which one came in first? Is that line one first? Yeah, line one, Mark from Athens. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, Senator Williams. I don't know if you'll remember this or not, because I think we're close to age, you and I, but when I was a little kid, I got two figurine sets one Christmas. One was the Herculoids, and the other was the Wacky Racers.
Oh, Wacky Racers. I loved them. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Man, apparently we are about the same age then.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, appreciate
it, man.
Herculoids
was another one. They were both cartoons on Saturday morning, but I got the figurine set of them.
I remember the Wacky Racers. I don't remember the Herculoids, but I remember the Wacky Racers. Certainly do.
Hey, Mark. It's still available on Google. You Google it. It's still available out there for
watching. Can we still get them?
Watching.
Probably get anything on Amazon, yeah, I guess.
Well, no, these are the videos. The old cartoons are still out there. Okay. Herculoid cartoons.
Hey, Mark, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much. All right, tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are, but telling me what toy you got as a kid. It's line two, Steve from Huntsville. Steve, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, Phil. Love your radio show.
Thank you, sir.
Do you remember the vibrating football fields that had the black yes. magnet football? You plugged them in, and they just vibrated until one of the opposing football figurines touched the player, and that's...
Yes.
Not okay.
The electric football. I mean, and you turn it on, and it was so loud, it was like, dang, it would just make this huge.
That's it.
And I never could dial in the men because some people knew how to like make the move in the right direction and things. I never could figure that out. But yeah.
Yeah, it was chaotic.
Hey, Steve, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for calling in. Wow, that's I'm flashing back in a big, big way. Have I got another one? Line three. Oh, line three. Barry from Athens. Barry, how you doing?
Good, man. Do you remember Sizzlers and the Fat Track?
Little
Hot Wheels cars. You'd put the juice machine on them and charge up and hold a charge.
Yeah.
And man, I had one. It was the Indy 500. I bet that thing. And if a car was measured out scale, I bet that thing was 2 miles long, and that car would do it in about 14 seconds. That's the fastest car in the world, scale-wise. I loved it.
And if I remember, too, some of the Sizzlers, when you got them going, they actually had sparks. They would come flying out, or you'd see sparks inside them or something like that, too. They were crazy cool.
May have. And also the one that came off after that offshoot was the Sizzler, or not the Hot Rails train set. It was run on a Hot Wheels track, but
nice.
It was a little train. About three or four cars looked like one of those fast trains like they have in Japan, whatever, what they call them.
The bullet trains.
Bullet train. That's what they look like, and they charge it the same way.
Man. We used to have good toys. We don't have them anymore. I always loved clackers, too. We don't have them anymore.
Yeah, clackers are gone, and I was just reminded a minute ago, we don't have lawn darts anymore because apparently that was a really bad idea.
Yeah, clackers and lawn darts eliminated a lot of idiots from the gene pool. Maybe why we got so many of them now. Hey, y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You too, Barry. Appreciate you. Thanks so much. Man, the text line still went crazy. I can't even get to all of them. I got Kenny from Elkmont had Lincoln Logs. Yes! Loved Lincoln Logs. Mike from Montgomery had a Daisy BB gun. There you go. By the way, you can tell the generations that had the dangerous toys. Give your kid a BB gun and some lawn darts and a wood burning set, and they're good all day long. They may not have any fingers and toes, but they'll be good. Kyle from Madison had the toy Emergency 5 board game from the TV. I remember Emergency. That was on back in the days of Adam 12 and Emergency and those kind of shows. Yeah, I'm dating myself now. Jeremy from Huntsville, on his 13th Christmas, got his first Nintendo Entertainment System with Super Mario Brothers. I like it. But the graphics, if I recall on that one, were a little bit jinky compared to some of the ones we had later. Jamie from Hartsell had the full-size G.I. Joe and the Foot Locker. Yes, indeed. John from Highway 20 had the Shirt Tails stuffed animal. I remember Shirt Tails. I'd forgotten about Shirt Tails. Allison from Madison had the Easy Bake Oven. That's good stuff, too. What else we got? Oh, and she says, look forward to an ongoing education in the right side classroom. Thank you, Allison. We appreciate you. Allie from Athens had the Tiny Tears doll, and yes, she peed. She says, but the coolest Christmas toy of all time was given to my neighbor, and it was called the Vacuform. Look it up. You'll be amazed. They let kids play with heated plastic. I'd forgotten about Vacuform. They had... You pour the hot plastic into a mold and make... So, Boomer, basically what they were trying to do was, like Barry said a minute ago, is eliminate kids from the gene pool. Just take out the dumb.
It's all right.
You know, just...
They got to learn.
up at the top of the scroll here, let me go find it. I know I heard Chris from Gadsden, super old... See, all right, Chris, I know who I'm talking to with this one, too. Chris and I are the same age. I think we're 1 year apart. Major Matt Mason, the astronaut toy. Yes, indeed. I had Major Matt Mason, the bendable figure, had his little helmet he put on, and I had the moon crawler that he would go across the room in. Randall from Newmarket had AM pocket radio. Dan from Rogersville had the electric football game and even sent me a picture of it. There it is. Yes. Like it. It just goes on and on. Man, I am flashing back so hard. Boomer, what'd you have, man? We hadn't heard yours yet.
Well, it was the Stretch Armstrong. Everybody was talking about the Stretch Armstrong. So another one would be like the racetrack with you actually had to put the car on the track and you only had a trigger.
That's oh, yeah. It. That was slot cars.
Yeah, little slot cars.
Oh, those were great.
That was fun.
Did you have the kind that could actually do flips like they would do in a big arc? Or was it the one that just ran around in a ring?
No, the first one was just the ring one for me.
And then you always try to figure out how to make it faster.
Absolutely.
And then you spray oil on it and ruin it.
It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't. Like, Dad, I sprayed oil because I thought it'd make it faster. No, son. All you did was just screw it up.
That's it.
All right. Jeff from Madison just texted in. Says, my brother and I had about 20 Mattel plastic goop molds, and they were 3.5-inch square metal molds. You squeeze raw plastic goop. I remember this. I do remember this. I also, by the way, had super elastic bubble plastic. I don't know if he remembers that or not. Probably a lot of kids thought it was gum and chewed it. Luckily, I'm still here because I had all the dangerous toys, apparently. But, yeah, Jeff from Madison says, and yes, burns were incurred.
Wow. There's so many of them you didn't even get to.
I know.
I'm sorry, guys. Next time.
Text line blew it up. All right, folks. Listen, if we don't talk to you, if you don't hear us, if you're busy with family, Merry, Merry Christmas. God bless you. We will be back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right.